This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're off and running tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Yeah, it's game on. Let's go tonight. 1 hour of soccer talk, aided by you, the listeners, and in some cases, rare cases. Which I want more of, by the way. You take the lead tonight, 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. We've got Ethan Bartlow, the Houston Dynamo defender tonight. Ethan getting into all things playing as a center back in Major League Soccer, losing his starting job to a new signing in Eric Svechenko, the great performance he just had against Portland, the ups and downs of being a professional soccer player. Real talk here with Ethan Bartlow tonight. Diana Ordonez of the Houston Dash, she will be our Soccer Matters extra. You will get this 20-minute interview after this show tonight. Really well-spoken young lady. Mexican national team player, was a part of the team that beat the U.S. 2-0. She and the Houston Dash will kick it off this weekend against Racing Louisville. I got a four-pack to give away and maybe more tonight on the show, so be handy at 713-780-3776. We stream at ESPN975.com. And as always, this is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. All right, we will talk tonight and preview the Nation League's matches between Panama and Mexico. Will Panama pull off an upset? They have not beaten Mexico since 2013. And we got one Coco Carrasquilla, who many people in Houston are going to be rooting for. If you're a Dynamo fan and you got Coco playing for Panama against Mexico, and you're a Mexican national team fan, do you fade a little towards Coco in Panama, or do you just stay valiant with El Tri? Well, we'll talk about it tonight. We got the U.S. national team in Jamaica. We got a lot of sound from the press conference today to get into as well, and all things Dash again. Diana Ordonez, that'll go up right after the show tonight. On ESPN975.com, Spotify, Apple, Google, all the great places where you get this show. So we got U.S. Open Cup news, Nations League preview, Dwayne De Rosario to the Hall of Fame in Canada, and a huge blow for Nottingham Forest. It's kind of interesting that they get this three-point deduction after we had Sarah Clapson of the Nottingham Post on a couple shows back. NWSL, Liga MX Femenil Leagues Cup, mirroring MLS, all of that tonight. And we got big games coming to Houston. Venezuela, Guatemala on Friday, or Guatemala Friday. You have the Dash then on Saturday. And then you go into, no, I'm sorry, Venezuela and Guatemala on Sunday, after the Dash on Saturday. And then you get what will be a guaranteed sellout, El Salvador and Honduras, playing I think on Tuesday. So very busy down there. Very busy down there. U.S. Open Cup. How about the Vermont Green in the Live Free or Die State? They draw 4,000 rowdy soccer fans. It looked amazing. It looked fun. It looked everything U.S. Open Cup. They got past Lexington Sporting Club as everything got off and running. Timbers 2. For Major League Soccer, got dropped by El Farolito, 2-1. Austin FC 2, who won the MLS Next last year, got beat by 4-0 out of Dallas, 4-3 on penalty kicks. That was in Austin, Texas. So, you know, upsets already, drama, a lot of close games. You have to remember that some of these amateur teams will have very, very good players. And a lot of times against some of the two teams, they're going to be older and more mature guys in a lot of ways. So it's no surprise they're upsets. We have seen MLS teams upset in the past. If we are talking about who is left in Texas, you have the Lubbock Matadors from the NPSL. You have the Dynamo, you have Dallas, you got El Paso Patriots and San Antonio FC. They enter the tournament later on. So for everybody that loves the Open Cup, it's often running at places like Montclair State University in New Jersey. There are more games tonight. You got Chicago Fire 2 versus Chicago City. So our version of the FA Cup lives on. I'm not turning this into an ML. You know what? This thing can still be exciting and tremendously exciting, already has been, without the advent of all the MLS teams. Sure, that makes the upsets a bit bigger, but you already have the differing levels right now and upsets occurring. The USL should make this their own. They're the big prey for maybe a lot of the littler amateur teams that are going to win games. I don't think there's any question about it. It's going to happen. So enjoy it. Nothing else to say about it. The Open Cup is going to live on no matter what, whether all of MLS plays in it or not. I mean, would you want more support after all these years? Yeah, I can see why people might be mad. And I can also see why people are upset because Leagues Cup is now taking precedent in the eyes of MLS and in the eyes of a lot of people because of the way it can be monetized between MLS teams and Liga MX teams. And by the way, it's going to happen with the NWSL now. Liga MX Femenil Leagues Cup, I think, could be good. It's good for both Liga MX and the NWSL to pull together and try and move things in a different direction when it comes to the women's game. And by the way, that Diana Ordonez interview is a no-miss one because it's long enough. It's almost more like a long-form podcast because there's a lot of time for her to talk and really, kind of get things out. So crazy, the soccer content coming through Houston, and that doesn't even count before we get into talking about the 2024 Copa America. Those tickets are on sale already. Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. .net, LSSE.net for those. I mean, you got an amazing game, Colombia and Paraguay, by the way. I mean, it's not just about all Mexico. Houston's full of very rabid Colombian soccer fans. I think that game could sell just as much as the Mexico game. Colombia-Paraguay, I heard, is selling very, very well. So you got two really good South American teams that have a lot of history, been to World Cups. You know, we're thinking Pibe Valderrama, you know, all the history that those two clubs have in the modern form matching up. And you got Mexico, Jamaica. And you get a look at Jamaica tomorrow night. But Jamaica is heavily missing a ton of players for the U.S. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on in that game. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Now, we got the kinks worked out tonight, so I'm doing this from home. Basically, I had a knee surgery. It's not easy. I tried driving. My knee blew up, so I decided, you know what? I'm gonna lay low here for a little bit. So we tried to make the statement over the phone the last show about the fact that American players were scoring goals overseas in Europe. So let's just kind of recap those quickly because this has a direct relevancy to the U.S. national team. All three of these goal scorers that are determining games, okay, winning games through their goal scoring, are a part of the U.S. national team that will play tomorrow night at 6 o'clock up in Arlington at AT&T. And that is going to be a very good game in the U.S. and Jamaica. And then we're going to cap it off at night with Panama and Mexico. So a wonderful night of doubleheaders. I'm going to order my pizza now so it gets here on time. Should be a lot of fun. Which game are you focused on tomorrow night? Mexico fan? U.S. fan? 713-780-3776. All right. So Ricardo Pepi, he's on the roster for Greg Berhalter. Here's Pepi scoring the game winner for PSV against Twente. This comes 6 minutes into stoppage time. By the way, he has 7 goals, mostly off the bench.
Se viene el último esfuerzo, ahí está. Luke de Jong ya perdió. En defensa de Jong dentro del área. De Jong, el recorte de Jong. Servicio, choque. La pelota le pasa por las piernas de su directiva. El servicio, el remate, gol, 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 gol.
Haji Wright scoring the winner for Coventry against Wolves in the FA Cup quarterfinals. This was drama as good as it could be. Here it is, Haji Wright. And then he has now been called up to the national team with the absence of Josh Sargent now due to injury.
O'Hare's done really well since he came up. Can they yet win it? Haji Wright goes to win it. Oh, my goodness me! Coventry have won it! In the 100th minute! Would you believe this? They were up. They were in the semi-finals. They were down. They were out of the cup. And they're heading to Wembley.
So they'll be the only non-Premier League team going to the FA Cup. Okay, this is She Said by the Beatles. We're going to take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Again, Copa America right around the corner. Feel the greatness of this big international tournament. You don't want to miss this. It returns to the U.S. So I mentioned you got Mexico, Jamaica. You got Colombia, Paraguay. And don't forget, July 4th, you could have Argentina here taking on the runner-up of Mexico's group in an epic knockout stage quarterfinal. Tickets, LSSE.net. We'll take a break. It's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. We get into some deeper Nations League semifinals talk when we come back. Well, that is Rat. Dance, dance, dance. That's great break music. Just the way that starts. Except you like hair bands. I don't know if you do. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in tonight. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Okay, so we continue on here tonight. Reminder, YouTube Soccer Matters. Get over there. A lot of additional content. X or Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock at Soccer Matters GD. Facebook Soccer Matters, GlennDavisSoccer.com. Okay, so that is the just shameless promotion, which I have to do because, you know, we're on twice a week. We're not on every day. So every subscription, like, follow, comment, call, these are data points. They're engagements. They're important. They help keep us on the air. And we do very much appreciate everybody when you contribute to the show and bring some opinion. Now, we get a lot of opinion on social media because it's easy to type. But I'd like to hear some people calling in and talking about the issues and the pieces of the game that are most important to them. Debate, bring a topic, whatever you like. I did mention a presale is likely to be coming soon for Tigres and Inter Miami. Just be ready for that one. That's going to be something unbelievable to see Messi here twice. And, you know, he's pulled out of national team friendlies. Rest assured, he'll be in those two games if he's healthy. No question, because obviously one's the Copa America and the other's tournament play in the League's Cup. So keep an eye on that. Dash again opening this weekend against Racing Louisville, HoustonDynamo.com. For those tickets, Dynamo on the road against the Colorado Rapids at altitude are going to look to get a second consecutive victory after a gritty 1-0 win at home. I saw some people saying, oh, Griffin Dorsey should play higher up the field. Well, would love for you to tell me about that. 713-780-3776. I guess the main premise was that way you can have Franco Escobar play right back. You have to understand Dorsey, though. Dorsey is so much better coming forward with space in front of him. So if Griffin Dorsey was higher up the field in a higher midfield role, first of all, you're talking about him being either in Amin Bassi's role or Kovalchuk's? Nah. The Dynamo would have to play with an out-and-out two wingers, Aliou on one side and Dorsey on the other. So that's not going to happen. I mean, unless Ben Olsen changes the entire tactics of the team. Right now, the tactics of the team are playing with two essentially withdrawn forwards, false nine, whatever fancy name you want to give it. But if Griffin Dorsey's higher up the field, he's not going to have that room to come in from late when attention's drawn in other places, and then he powers forward, and he's almost like a train that picks up more intensity the higher up the field that it gets, right? I hope he's going to get back to that end product that we saw more of last year, but distinctly different role it would be if he was higher up the field. He would have to play with his back to people more. It wouldn't be the same. Tighter spaces. He needs that room to run. He's like a a wild horse. You got to give him that room to run, and he changed the team last year coming into the right back position. But that may not solve the wants, the dire desires, and needs of Franco Escobar. 713-780-3776. All right, let's get into U.S. Men's National Team. Let's start with Tyler Adams returning to the national team. We know how important he's going to be. Had a great World Cup for the United States. We're really hoping he's going to be available for the Copa America. Here's Tyler Adams on his return.
No, there was never a doubt in my mind that the moment will come. Anyone that knows me knows that. I do a lot of my work behind the scenes. I go about my business in the right way. I've been continuously working nonstop in the past months to make sure that this time would come. I'm not sure if anyone thought it would come this soon, but I was continuously just pushing myself and making sure that I was hitting objectives in a smart way, not rushing the process, making sure I was hitting all my benchmarks. And then, yeah, now here I am.
Such a mature young man. Captain U.S. national team, him and Pulisic. Just a mature young man. I mean, I think we were all worried about him responding from this injury, so we're keeping a close eye on that one. Just covers tremendous ground. Had an amazing game against England in the World Cup. Here he is on his time recovering. And by the way, he mentioned there, I do a lot of work behind my scenes, behind the scenes. All professional soccer players do their work behind the scenes. You only see the 90 minutes when they play games. But you think of all the time that's put in during the week on their own. Some of these guys go home and do extra. So just don't forget that. Here's Adams on the time he was out and recovering.
Yeah, no. The rehab process was a long one, an enduring one. You know, you learn a lot about yourself in those tough moments because in those moments, there's no headlines about you. There's no, you know, people talking about you anymore. You know, all of a sudden you like fall off a cliff and you're kind of irrelevant in that moment. But, you know, for me, I kind of enjoyed that, if I'm being completely honest with you. After such a whirlwind of a season, after the World Cup, after everything, my world kind of flipped upside down for a brief moment. And being injured, I just had a moment to regroup. Obviously, initially, I thought it was going to be a short time and I was coming back and I was feeling good. And then obviously it happened again. And in that moment, I was just kind of evaluating, okay, do I want to try and be conservative and, you know, test the waters and see if it will be okay? Or do I just want to go through another surgery and make sure that the problem is solved for the long term? So I decided to take the longer term solution, make sure I was doing everything in the right way. But I'm very fortunate for my inner circle, for my friends, my family. Having a baby along the way helped a lot during that time, you know, finding new motivation. But yeah, just pushing me through. But my mentality has never wavered. I know who I am at the end of the day, know what I'm capable of, and yeah, just keep plugging along.
Holy smoke. Is that a confident kid or what? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, he's talking about his baby now. I mean, this kid I remember in the Red Bulls Academy driving from Poughkeepsie, New York with his mom. I mean, you just love seeing that from youth. And you love seeing that guy represent the United States. Makes you feel good. Makes you feel proud. Love that. 713-780-3776. Give me your thoughts on Nations League. Tim Ream was in the press conference today, and Tim Ream had a lot to say about the maturation process of these guys. Now, remember now, this is a lot of years now that they have been able to mature, to get blooded, which means gain experience, all of this because of the convenience of the U.S. not making a World Cup. It accelerated the opportunity for all these guys. Would have been accelerated even more without the pandemic, quite frankly. But accelerated all these guys, Yunus Musa, Tyler Adams, maturity levels of these guys. Weston McKennie, who's playing wonderfully for Juventus now, who got loaned out, didn't even seem to be in the plans, has come back, and he's now one of Juventus's best players. These guys are fighters. These are the type of guys that we want to support and really have a big buy-in with. And by the way, for all the naysayers of Greg Berhalter, these guys are all, or a large portion of them, they are very pro Greg Berhalter as their coach. They are very pro Greg Berhalter. Now, if you're not getting the minutes you want, you're not going to like any coach. You heard what Jurgen Klopp said the last time. We played a soundbite from him where he said, on game day, 11 guys love me. Everybody on the bench like me. And the guys who don't make the team, the bench or the first 11, they all hate me. But he said then what they have is the opportunity each and every week to move to a different plane at the club. So there you go. Here is Tim Ream on that U.S. men's national team player mentality. This is Soundbite 14.
Yeah, listen, we always talk about it doesn't matter where guys are playing. If they're playing at a high level, you know, contributing at their club and being leaders within their club and then coming into the national team and contributing and being part of a bigger group, a brotherhood, as we call it. And, you know, you look at, like you said, the 21 of us that do play in Europe, I think it does show there's a lot more, you know, development, a lot more guys who are willing to push themselves and really step out of their comfort zones and make moves to Europe and really try to make a career out of, you know, being away from a home. And I think we're seeing, you know, and reaping the rewards of that, you know, guys who were wanting to make that jump. And you see it every day, every time we come into camp, guys have developed a little bit more. They're a little bit more stronger, a little bit more developmentally. They understand the ups and downs.
Okay, so there you heard it. They're coming in more mature. They're playing at big clubs. All the things that were just in, you know, if you're older generation like me, or the guys on the 90 World Cup or 94 World Cup team, you're looking at something that's just remarkable. It really is. The clubs that these guys are on, the other thing is their level of maturity. Christian Pulisic as well at AC Milan. This is wonderful. All right, the U.S. look for a third consecutive title. It's U.S.-Jamaica tomorrow night, followed by Panama-Mexico. Let's talk about the U.S. Unbeaten in six against Jamaica. Jamaica's now coached by that Icelandic coach who had him in the World Cup, Heimir Hallgrímsson. He's 7-6-7 since taking them over. The roster in Jamaica always contains a lot of guys that are playing in England. Most of them are in the championship, but they do have two premiership players. Bobby DeCordova Reed, who's at Fulham. Bobby Reed, who Tim Ream would certainly be very familiar with. He has, what does he have? He's Tim Ream's teammate. He's got a number of goals. What does he got? 5 goals and 25 appearances, I see here. Michael Antonio, 2 goals, 17 appearances, West Ham. Jamaica's missing a lot of players. They're missing Shamar Nicholson, Demarel Gray. These guys, one plays in Saudi Arabia, the other, Clermont, in Spain. I think they're missing Leon Bailey as well. So they're missing a lot. What they do have is Andre Blake of the Philadelphia Union. Excellent goalkeeper on his day. Can win you a game. Damian Lowe, New York Red Bulls. Tavon Gray, New York City FC. Corey Burke. So to remind you where Jamaica is, it's only 2 Jamaican players from the first division in Jamaica. And for the U.S. men's national team, it's very few MLS players making the roster. I'm not looking at the roster right now. But, you know, the way to get on the national team, it's pretty obvious. You go over and you play in England. And this is happening, and this is part of the reason why when Tim Ream talks about maturation and maturity and growth and being experienced and coming back a bit hardened, that's what Europe does to you because it's a harder environment. Make no mistake. That is not a slight on Major League Soccer. Not a slight at all. It's just a fact, and that's sort of reality. So Jamaica's going to be missing a bunch of players. Here's Greg Berhalter on the importance of these summer tournaments, which, by the way, Berhalter, you know, a lot of people feel he's under real pressure. If he doesn't do well in this, he's got to win the Nations League, as far as I'm concerned. And he's got to go real far in the Copa America. So soundbite number 11, Berhalter on the importance of summer tournaments.
You know, and for us, we're using this tournament as a pivotal part of our preparation for the World Cup. We're using Copa America. We're using, you know, these high-profile friendly games that we have because, you know, the way we look at it is elimination games and playing against the best teams in the world are going to prepare us for 2026. When we don't have qualifying, say, okay, what else is there? And it's clearly Nations League, knockout competition, a chance to win a trophy. Colombia, Brazil, big profile friendlies before the summer. And then Copa America, you know, the oldest, one of the most regarded tournaments in the world, again, help prepare us.
Yeah, so it's on U.S. soil. I wish it was for preparation purposes. It would have been better if it was in South America, but for financial purposes and monetizing it, it's the United States. This is a clear winner. So this is an important time, and there are a lot of people out there, certainly fans who don't like Greg Berhalter, but even if you don't like Greg Berhalter, you probably do like it that the players like him. That means there's buy-in. There's connection with the coach. 713-780-3776. Now, they've been working on set pieces, and they hired what is a set piece specialist. I'm looking for his name. Oh, his name was Gianni Vio. He's a set piece coach, and here's what Berhalter had to say on improving the very, very important element of games that can win you games, set pieces.
In terms of set pieces, you know, I don't think it's only the work we're doing in camp. You know, we're doing work out of camp. We formed a group that is working outside of camp with the players and going over offensive set pieces, getting their ideas, working, you know, giving them a lot of responsibility of how do we get better. We also have a set piece coach who's been doing it the longest in the world. Gianni Vio is his name, from Italy. Recently, he was with Italy when they won the Euros, and he's experienced. And now it's just pulling that all together, being
all right, understanding. So, Darren, we can pull out of this now. So, I mean, the main thing is they've got a set piece coach, Greg Berhalter, talking about that. So you're getting these specialists now. So let's keep an eye on U.S. set pieces against Jamaica tomorrow night. Let's get into Panama, Mexico. This is going to be a great watch. This is 9:15 tomorrow night. Local interest, I mean, obviously, I'm queuing in on Coco Carrasquilla against Mexico. Panama is now the new Costa Rica in CONCACAF. They've far surpassed them. Costa Rica got old, tired. They're the surprise package. They're in a great time historically. Blew away Costa Rica in the quarters. They're unbeaten in seven. They have not beaten Mexico since 2013. Okay, so they eliminated the U.S. on PKs in, I think, the Gold Cup or a recent tournament. This could be the night for them. This is why you want to watch this game. They could make history. They've never beaten El Tri since 2013. Their all-time record is ridiculously dominant by Mexico. Mexico's form, question mark. Mexico under Jaime Lozano, big question mark. I don't know if you can say they've been good under them. Panama also missing a very key defender from Marseille, Michael Amir Murillo, by the way. But Mexico beat Panama in the Gold Cup final last July. You remember how good of a game that was, highly competitive. It was a late goal from Santi Jimenez in the 88th minute. That was a late show for them. Mexico, if you remember, in the quarterfinals of the Nations League, they were down after the first leg to Honduras, 2-0, and then they miraculously came back in Mexico and then won on penalty kicks in the second leg. But things, I wouldn't say they're particularly rosy. I don't know. Mexico fan, tell me where you think the Mexican national team is right now. 713-780-3776. Strength of the roster, coach, whatever you want to get into, tell me. So they got Luis Chavez, who I love. He's got a very cultured left foot. Obviously, danger off set pieces. Santiago Jimenez. Now, just let's finally anoint this guy the out-and-out best striker for Mexico. Raul Jimenez is injured. He's not available. I take Santi Jimenez any day of the week over Henry Martin. Yet, Santiago's only got 4 goals and 24 appearances. A lot of those were off the bench, though. Edson Alvarez, another key figure. West Ham United, 25 appearances for him. Uriel Antuna. You got the naturalized Colombian Julian Quiñones. Chucky Lozano. These are ones to keep an eye on. But let's see how this works. It's a big one. Big one for Panama. Kick Cancer Soccer Camp. We raised $1,665. It all goes to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. By the way, parents and youth that went to that, thank you so much. Huge thank you to the Dynamo Soccer Club, Olivier Finidori. They put the clinic on. This is 18 years strong. Thank you for that. We're gonna make this bigger and better next year. You'll see. Capelli, the T-shirts, they gave it to us. Soccer for All, the printing. Snowdrop Foundation, for everybody who helped out with this. Our great friend Ethan Hughes, you got to hear that interview. We thank you. All right, we got Ethan Bartlow coming up. I think you're going to like this interview because he takes you into analyzing opposing strikers, what part of his game needs to improve, being the starter, then all of a sudden getting supplanted by a European signing in Eric Svechenko. I mean, real stuff, real soccer talk, real professional talk. This is behind-the-scenes professional soccer. Same thing with Diana Ordonez, which will be on ESPN975.com after this one tonight here. Big thank you to everybody involved so far. So good. We got one more segment to go here. Before we hit a break here, a big, big thank you to Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10, and the Marquee Entertainment Center. They had a big St. Patrick's Day out there, bangers and mash, fish and chips. And also to Pitch 25 down in Edo. Pitch 25 experienced the closest thing to a live match. Largest soccer beer garden in Houston. 70 screens, 100 beers on tap. Indoor soccer field. Head over to 2120 Walker and Edo, Houston's go-to soccer bar. Pitch 25. We'll take a break. Ethan Bartlow next.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. A quick shout-out here to Hugh O'Connor's Pub. It's out at I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. They got daily specials out there. Whiskey and beer offerings are off the charts. Great traditional English pub food. It's Hugh O'Connor's Pub. And a big shout out to our friends at Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, Jan and Yannick Christensen. My house is full of their beautiful furniture. If you're in the market for modern contemporary furniture, that's where you go. Our next guest, Houston Dynamo. Excellent 90 minutes in the Dynamo's 1-0 shutout clean sheet over the high-flying Portland Timbers. He's Ethan Bartlow. Ethan, thanks for coming on tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, listen, nothing more satisfying as a defender than getting a clean sheet, first one of the year, and you do it against a team that had 8 goals in 3 games. Maybe take us into that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think, like, they've been playing well. They got a lot of good attackers, and they really like to get out in transition, so we knew it was going to be a tough game. But I think the shout-out's a credit to everyone, and as a defender, really happy to get it.
So, you know, when you're looking them at them on paper, and I watched their prior games, and you're right, high flying. I mean, they got 4 very athletic, technical guys. It's a little bit scary, right? And they're on a hot streak. They're scoring goals. What's some of the major talking points and focus for a defender in that game? Is it starting positions? Is it what you do without the ball? Is, you know, the mental side of it, where you need to be? Just take our listeners into that.
Yeah, you know, I think the big thing for us that we're kind of always working on and I think got better throughout the game is we call it active defending. And it's just kind of being in good positions to defend when we have the ball, if and when it turns over. Because we know once they get the ball, they're going to be looking for the outlet pass and trying to run fast at us any chance they get. So being in good positions to shut that down is really key against them.
So take me into this. The Houston Dynamo win the ball. You play it into midfield. It's now out wide. The team's on the attack. You're jogging up the field to condense the game. What's going on in the mind of Ethan Bartlow, a center back, at that point?
I think at times it's definitely hard not to kind of watch the ball and kind of want to be an option attacking-wise. But you really got to turn on and know where their attacking guys are because they can really hurt you. Definitely need to do that in every game, but I think specifically against them, it was a really big key for us.
Ethan Bartlow joining us, Dynamo defender, last year 27 appearances out of the University of Washington. Excellent defender, re-signed a new contract as well. How about talking about the chemistry with Mikael in that game because both of you guys played exceptional.
Well, thank you. Mika and I, like, we just kind of try to complement each other's game and be in position to help each other. Obviously he's very good, as like a recovering defender. And so he helps me out a lot, and I try to do my best to help him out as well.
So the beginning of that match, they come out flying and Santiago Moreno gets behind you guys, right? And as we all know, the first goal in games now can go a long way. Did the team kind of get caught by them a little bit in the beginning cold, how fast they started that game, the Portland Timbers?
Yeah, you know, I think that play, we should have locked that throw in better, but we didn't, and they got behind us. And credit to Steve, it was an amazing save that he ended up making. But I think it was kind of a wake-up call for us, and that really got us going. And probably fortunate to not be down 1-0, but we take that, and in the long run, it probably helped us get going into that game.
All right, you got intense competition. Eric Sviatchenko, Mikaela, teenager debut was there until he was moved on to the Turkish Super League yourself. This has got to be pretty intense competition on a daily basis, right?
Yeah, for sure. We know we got a lot of good guys in the center back room and throughout the team. Dan's obviously a really good player as well. So I think obviously there's like a competition for playing time, but I think it's kind of a iron sharpens iron type of thing where we're kind of pushing each other to be better every day, all throughout that position room.
I was affected in my playing career very much by a guy that played in Europe. He helped my game a lot. Have you picked up any maybe subtle ticks from Eric Sviatchenko?
Yeah, I think one really subtle one that I've kind of picked up and tried to kind of add to my game is just like kind of the tactical foul. I think he's really good at that. And I think like keeping guys from being able to turn is something he's really good at. And doing it in a way where he's not going to get a yellow card. I think like I've kind of tried to pick that up and add that to my game. But it's impressive the way he does it.
Talking to Ethan Bartlow, who's been exceptional for the Dynamo, played 27 times last year, was the starter last year. So I want to ask you a very serious question here and see how you answer it. You know, you're the starter in this team. You're playing well. You feel like you're playing well. You're not conceding that many goals. And in comes a European defender in Eric Sviatchenko, and now you're in a fight for your place where you think you've earned it. Is this just professional sports and competition?
Yeah, I think it is. I think obviously the management's always trying to bring in the best players they can, and credit to them. Eric's a good player. And for me, I think it's like I kind of saw it as a little bit of a challenge for me. And then towards the end of the season, not playing as much, I felt like I came into this season with something to prove, and hopefully get back into that starting position. Obviously, I know Eric's going to do a good job when he's in, but I feel like I can also do a good job when I'm in. So being able to get that starting position back is something I really want to work towards.
Yeah, and again, that's a daily basis, right, in training? I mean, is that every single training session, I think, for younger players to hear from you, right, is a chance for you to do something in front of your manager and a staff, right?
For sure. I think it's tough when you're not starting to kind of – Not necessarily put your best in every day, but put your best in every day knowing that, like, who knows if that training session's really going to matter in terms of whether that's going to change the way the team's picked. Obviously, games are what's most important. And if the team's playing well in games, it's hard to get back into the team sometimes. But really all you can do is work hard every day and try to get better. And try to make the team better because that's what's most important.
Ethan Bartlow again joining us from the University of Washington, and I would guess that, you know, you've had your share of ups and downs at every level of soccer, right? I love when people like you, who people generally see running out in a stadium full of people and thinking, wow, isn't that amazing? But they don't sometimes know the background and the ups and downs, the disappointments, you had injury, all kinds of different things. So that probably makes it even more satisfying when you get a 90 minutes like the other night and produce what you did against a very good team.
Yeah, for sure. I think like specifically at the professional level, obviously my first year was pretty rough. Injured a lot. Didn't really end up getting a shot that year. And then kind of was building towards it. And then last year I ended up getting that starting spot, as you said, only kind of to be brought back down a peg. And so I think just kind of dealing with adversity a little bit has really made me better. And it's kind of built me up.
You seem to have a very nice level of composure, which I think not all defenders have. And I think that's a weapon. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think on the ball is really my strength as a defender. But kind of with that comes I need to keep working on the defensive end. This league is getting better and better attackers, obviously, every year. So working on that defensive end is big. And I think, like, in the box defending specifically is where your money's really made as a center back.
And you got a lot of importance placed on the buildup as well, right? I mean, the center backs are holding the ball a lot and waiting for the right moment to play through people and dealing with pressure. I mean, this is a multifaceted job. The days of just breaking plays up and giving it to an attacking player, I think, are over, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think especially the way we play right now, wanting to keep a lot of the ball, kind of trying to maintain possession and build slowly. I think a lot of pressure is put on us. And also with Hector out, I think it puts even more pressure on us just because we kind of can't give it to him and know that he's going to progress and make the best pass. We gotta kind of be the ones to break lines at times as well.
Ethan, the goal scoring has been an issue when it comes to getting multi-goal games and all. Did you guys get the sense last year sometimes that you feel like you're under a lot of pressure because you don't get the relief maybe of a multi-goal game often enough?
Yes and no. I think obviously multi-goal games would be great, but to us it doesn't really matter. I think we're kind of, especially the back line, Steve, whoever, I think we're more focused on that shutout. So if we can win a game 1-0, 3-0, it doesn't really make a difference to us. We're trying to keep that shutout regardless.
All right, let's look ahead to Colorado. We're talking to Houston Dynamo defender Ethan Bartlow. This is a great interview here. Grew up Pacific Northwest, went to the University of Washington. All right, so I'm looking at this new striker for Colorado, Rafael Navarro. Now, how much will you guys do a deep dive on him? How much information do you get? How many, you know, do you go home at night and watch the Colorado Rapids to watch his movements and tendencies? How's that work?
Yeah, you know, in video earlier in the week, we're still talking. We're reviewing Portland right now. But later on in the week, probably tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, we'll get into Colorado a little bit and we'll get to know their tendencies. And specifically for like us center backs, we'll get into the nine as well. And we'll know where he came from, whatever, and know how he likes to play and what he likes to do and try to really get in and disrupt that.
So later in the week is when you really begin to start focusing on the Colorado Rapids. I think that's interesting information for everybody that's out there. So right now you're still kind of processing the Portland game with your staff.
Yeah, definitely. I think that game specifically, obviously there's a lot of good. We ended up shutout win. But there was definitely a lot we could have done better. You mentioned that first chance right at the start. We can do a lot better on locking that throw in. And there's obviously more stuff we could have done a lot better that night. And maybe we get a few more goals, whatever. We're a little cleaner on the defensive end as well. And so I think reviewing that is a big part of kind of us specifically what we want to do in our game. It can't always be like, change our game up for whoever we're playing against.
Do you get the sense that most of the coaches, no matter what their game model is or their tactics and where their line of restraint is, do you get the sense that most teams come out pushing at the beginning of matches just to try to catch an opponent cold and maybe make sure that they're mentally and physically engaged?
Yeah, I think you almost have to. I think if you can get that early goal, that just means so much. And obviously we're fortunate to not be down 1-0, because if we had been, it would have been a completely different game. They probably would have sat off a little more even. and really made it difficult for us.
Do you find it fun playing up against all these players from different countries that have different tendencies and are coming from differing leagues from around the world? I mean, at the end of the day, you're matched up with some of the best attacking players on every team, every game. I mean, that must be pretty fun.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. Some are more fun than others. I don't know that playing against Spree is a lot of fun. He's a big, strong, fast guy, so he's tough to deal with. But no, I think it is a lot of fun. I almost embrace that pressure of trying to get out of there with a clean sheet. And yeah, it's really fun when we do get them.
Any other guys that aren't fun like Asprea?
I mean, Cucho wasn't a lot of fun either. He's really good, obviously. But also
Glenn Davis
Christian
here
on the same team, Christian Ramirez. He's similar to Asprea, where he's that big body that's going to hold you off, and that can be tough to deal with.
Well, listen, Ethan, thank you so much. Best of luck against Colorado. You're a well-spoken guy. You're playing great soccer. Congratulations on the shutout against Portland. Thanks for visiting with me and our listeners, and we do appreciate it. We look forward to doing it again, and keep up the great work. I saw your face after you had your goal called back. I was so hoping that was going to count for you.
I was heartbroken, but thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
looking forward to being back on soon.
Yeah, let's do it. And that goal will come. You know that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, that's Ethan Bartlow. Thank you so much, Ethan. And the
Dynamo will
take down the Colorado Rapids this weekend. By the way, they have Jordy Mihailovic, Omar Fernandez, who was with the Red Bulls, Darren Yappe. They had a number of differing players that have made this roster a little bit different. That game will be at altitude in Colorado. That's going to do it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Get the podcast at Spotify, Apple, and Google. You can also get it at ESPN975.com. Don't forget, head over to our YouTube Soccer Matters page. Subscribe. A lot of new information coming out over there. And our thanks to Jack for setting this interview up tonight with Ethan Bartlow. We end on a really, really good note. That'll do it. Until next Monday night, remember, Soccer Matters.